welcome to this edition of Quest Point in the Mix. You know, when you think about the opportunities in the solar industry, the mind really does fill with possibilities. In fact, last year, when I was attending the InterSolar Conference, I was really moved by the enormity of the technological innovations that would surely follow. And that was just last spring, summer. Here now is an innovation that is playing out through the leadership of Miles Russell. Miles is the CEO, president, and co-founder of Green Ray Solar. He is responsible for Green Ray Solar's management and product development. And Green Ray is based in Westford, Massachusetts. It is a VC-backed firm, started in 2006, and it has developed what it calls the world's first solar appliance. And that's because it combines into a single package the separate components found in typical photovoltaic systems into a single plug-and-play AC solar panel module. More on this later, but that's quite a breakthrough. Miles, though, was formerly director of systems development for Schott Solar, and during his 32 years in the PV industry, he has generated the concept of Sunshine AC module, led the design of several mounting systems, and successfully grew and managed a small business. Miles has been involved in PV systems research, design, and development continuously since 1977, when he joined the engineering staff at MIT Lincoln Laboratory in Lexington, Massachusetts. Miles holds an MS in mechanical engineering from Stanford University. Miles, I am indeed intrigued by your long history and relationship in the photovoltaic industry. Again, Miles, welcome to Quest Point in the Mix. And would you be so kind as to tell our listeners what was happening at the time when you first got interested in the PV field and share some insight with our listeners as to your experiences?
Absolutely happy to do that. Richard, thank you so much for having me on your program to talk about this. And it is true that I am indeed a veteran in the photovoltaic industry. And if I go back to the 70s, it was a time when the oil embargoes took place. Oil supplies from the OPEC countries were trickling in instead of the levels they had been. And the way that I observed this as a college student, with not paying much attention to global events, was that gasoline prices jumped up. There were long lines at the gas stations because they ran short of fuel.
Wasn't any fun.
Speeds on the highway. I was in the Midwest, and they dropped from 70 down to 55. So those were things that kind of shook the country up. And when I came back from the summer vacation the next fall, there were courses that had appeared in the engineering school in solar energy. And I really liked them and really grabbed hold of that topic because it was a blend of different engineering disciplines. There was fluids, there was physics, there was mechanical, and it pulled it all together. I went on to graduate school at Stanford, as you mentioned, and the same thing happened there. There were courses, new courses that came into the engineering school in solar cells and small-scale energy systems and things of that sort, and I took all of those too, and I determined at that point in my college career that, you know, I really wanted to find a position in the solar field.
I'm curious, Miles, at that time, were there a lot of people involved in those classes, attending those classes? There weren't many people in the field at that point, were there?
No, there was really no industry to speak of at all. But as students, you know, we're always thinking about what excites us, and I would say that these classes were as filled as any others. Now, I don't know how many people back in the mid-70s were thinking that solar would be their career path besides.
Okay.
It really grabbed hold of me, and fortunately, President Carter was taking action to try to build the foundations for an industry. He started funding several of the major labs, Sandia, Jet Propulsion Lab, and the MIT Lincoln Lab here in Massachusetts, where I got my start. And it's because of his interest in developing renewable technologies, and solar in particular, to wean us away from imported oil, that there started to be some jobs and some industry began percolating from there.
Now, didn't he install some solar panels on the roof of the White House as well?
He did, in fact. You're absolutely right. There were solar thermal panels, And you know what happened? When Ronald Reagan became president, he took him down. Yeah, but that's correct. And he's to be credited with getting things started, in my opinion, developing the technology for solar cells, the materials that needed to exist that didn't yet exist to make the laminates survive the harsh environment of the outdoors for 25, 35 years. All of this fundamental materials work, technology development work, codes and standards, everything that is important to the building of a foundation, as they say, all happened back in the late 70s.
Well, Mel, at that point, when you were just completing your classes, what did you do after you got out of school? I think you said you joined the labs there at MIT.
That's correct. So I came out to Massachusetts, where I'd never been, and started in this group at the MIT Lincoln Lab, where we were doing some very fundamental kinds of analysis of solar, how it performed, what it did when the temperature varied, and how to work with this stuff, how to wire them together and how to mount them, and what it would take to make a system with batteries, without batteries. There was really very few manufacturers of these panels. And a lot of it was very much hand-done. Solar cells were small, maybe an inch and a half in diameter, round cells. Performance of modules was very different than it is today. But, you know, this is how things get started. And, you know, I was at the Lincoln Lab for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years before Reagan came into office, and then things trickled down from there, and in 1987, I left with a colleague of mine from the MIT lab and started Ascension Technology. We worked through the late 80s and then through the 90s designing systems for electric utilities. The momentum continued with some federal funding, but really was supplemented by interest from conventional electric generators, that is, the electric utilities. They were very interested in knowing how photovoltaic systems perform, how much energy they produce, what impact they might have on their grids. If they had neighborhoods full of these things, what implications did that have on how they operate their system? Now, some very good engineering questions like that, some very fundamental kinds of performance-related studies were done. A lot of interest in the Environmental Protection Agency as well. EPA funded Ascension Technology through the 90s to investigate real systems in locations all around the country, looking at the energy produced by the photovoltaic systems and comparing it then to how much energy was not generated by a nearby power plant, and importantly, how much of the pollutants that come from conventional generators was avoided. All those places where you now see displays of PV system performance on the web, and it'll show this is equivalent to removing 2 cars from the road or saving 100 trees or things like that, where they compare it to the environmental savings, all stemmed from those EPA studies back in the 90s.
What happened once you left that firm?
Yes, there was a major event that took shape in the late 90s, in 98, when California started its incentive program, and that really turned this industry around and really created the kind of growth that we're still seeing and are going to see. In 98, our small company, Ascension Technologies, was acquired by Schott. Schott is a big German glass manufacturer, and they were looking at the U.S. at that point and seeing this blossoming activity in solar, wanted to get involved, and so they acquired a number of companies, including ours, and then we were merged and acquired again. And you know, anyway, I ended up at Schott Solar directing systems development in the mid-2004-05 until we left to start Greenray in 2006. But that was an important and incredible period from 98 through today in terms of the growth that this industry is seeing, all stimulated by California.
Curious, you know, when we were talking the other day, you said that much of what we see in the industry has, in terms of the technology, has changed very little. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You're so right, Richard. I was at the MIT Lincoln Laboratory in like 1999 when I was asked, I was just a young engineer, not long out of school, I was asked to go down to the University of Texas in Arlington, where with donated equipment, some students had put together a photovoltaic system, and it was noteworthy because this is the first grid-tied PV system in the country.
Interesting.
It wasn't a very dramatic event. There was an array of modules in the backyard on a rack and an inverter that had been adapted from the wind industry, mounted inside, and it was humming away and pushing that power back onto the grid. And if you fast forward 30 years to today, systems are still being built in much the very same way, where modules are being strung together, modules that produce DC power, and strings that create high voltage, wired to a central inverter that is connected into the grid. Very much the same for 30 years. Really why we started GreenRay was to change this whole paradigm.
Right. GreenRay, that's an interesting name. How did you come up with that name?
Well, I'm glad you find it interesting. We had a competition of four founders in the company, and you know, one of the first things you have to do when you start a company is come up with a name. So We had a competition to come up with as many good names as we could muster. And I was driving in the Midwest, out in a rural area through the cornfields, and that's where I hail from, by the way. And I saw kind of a faded old billboard.
You know, I felt like I was with you on that drive right there when you said I was driving through the corn. just FYI.
Yeah, well, I saw this faded old billboard. It said Greenway, I think it was landscaping, or landscape nursery business.
Oh, okay.
Like that. And it just sort of clicked. You know, Greenway, Greenray came to my mind. And so that was one of the suggestions I came up with, and we all liked that one. And
well, good name, good choice. Well, now the company's product, Sun Sign, I had to say that, like I had to practice saying it, Sun Sign AC solar panels, is being billed as the world's first solar appliance. Why do you describe it that way, and who's the market for Sun Sign?
Well, the name, first of all, is a combination of sunlight and sine wave, which is what you get if you convert sunlight to AC power, being a sine wave.
Oh,
so
okay.
Kind of an inside engineering little twist there, but you might want to know that. Anyway, yes, we have set out to make a solar appliance. Now, you think of appliances like a toaster oven or something like that. We're not quite in that appliance category where you pluck it off a shelf in an appliance store, but it is as close as this industry will be. When you integrate a microinverter with a photovoltaic module, and include all of the features that we're embedding in this product, really all you're taking from there, doing from with it from there, is plugging it in. Now, you can't literally just plug it into the wall here in the United States. That doesn't meet code. But it's as simple as wiring a clothes dryer or a stove kind of circuit. Conceptually, it's very similar to plugging in a major appliance into the wall out.
So who's the market for SunSign?
The product itself is ideal for the residential application. And the reason I say that is that in all the decades of experience that I have, and my colleagues, although not as long in the industry as me, they have anywhere from 10 to 15 or so years, we've all designed systems for residences and for flat roofs. We've installed systems of both types. And we have felt that there are so many pain points in doing residential PV systems that we could really make a contribution by making a system that eliminates a lot of the materials that are used now to mount modules on a roof, incorporate our proprietary microinverter on the back of the solar panels, make it safe to work with, simple to understand, simple to design systems with, and you can really tailor a system now very nicely to a roof ton in all sizes and shapes. Customers have budgets that are going to vary. With the AC module, you can make a complete system with as few or as many as you want or can afford or will fit in the space available. You can add to it over time. It's very flexible. It's very simple to work with. And I think that makes it ideal to trim labor and complexity out of the design process and the installation for residences. That's our initial target.
I see. Okay. So,
have I told you yet, Richard?
Yeah, I'm pulling my checkbook out. What are the advantages from your point of view of having a micro inverter installed into the solar panels versus central external one? Are there some cost savings to that? How much would people who would companies that have a central inverter differ with what you're saying?
Well, let me start at the beginning there. I think the advantages are in simplicity, safety, performance, reliability, modularity, intelligence. When you wire today's PV arrays together, you're taking these DC panels and plugging them one to the next. Those conductors that you're holding in your hands are energized at all times when you're installing and wiring. You're wiring these in series up to 400 volts, 500 volts. This is very close to the kind of voltages that the MBTA subway system in Boston runs on, and everybody's definitely afraid of that third rail.
Okay.
Modules come with a warning, the lethality of the voltages that can be obtained when you wire these in series. So it's nothing to mess around with, and this is why it takes training, expertise, and some savvy to work with PV. That is one significant area that I have seen for a very long time needed to change. And firefighters agree.
Okay.
Firefighters agree, because when they go to a house that's burning, one of the first things they do is pull the meter off the wall of the house to de-energize the wiring in the walls, except that doesn't de-energize the PV array wiring, which can be running around on the roof and down through the walls and to the inverters, which is somewhere in the building. So if they're up on the roof chopping a hole with an axe or a chainsaw, what they don't want is to be cutting through a high-voltage DC line. So this is a way to improve that situation. With the AC module, with the Sunshine AC module, the cable now, there's no access to DC at all. There's no access to live DC voltages at all. The wiring is cable that carries AC power, and it is completely de-energized at all times during installation. So there's no voltages. There's no shock hazard. It's completely de-energized. That's an important safety advantage. One other thing that I think is an advantage over central inverters is that the modularity that I talked about, allowing you to size a system of any size that you desire. With a central inverter, you optimize the resulting system. You want to match as best you can the ratings of that inverter. You have to string a number of modules together to get to the voltage that that inverter wants to see, and you have to build up strings like that to get to the power level that optimizes the array of modules with that central inverter. You're limited in terms of the systems that you can build with the size increments of inverters available to you. That whole sizing exercise, which is climate-specific, I might add, is to say, for a given inverter, you will have a different array of modules in Boston than you would in San Diego or Phoenix. So this is, again, part of the complexity that takes a little bit of training and knowledge to be able to work with today's system. But all that goes away if you have AC modules, which are complete operating systems, each and every one by itself. So you have the ability to build a system with any number of them. You know, forever, Richard, one of the benefits that was claimed for photovoltaics was the modularity of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
You can build a system with increments of one module. But in reality, you can't do that. But with the AC module, now you can really actually take advantage of that modularity and build systems, so one at a time. With performance advantages, a central inverter has the job of trying to maximize the output of a group of modules as a collective, whereas with an inverter on the back of each module, it is optimizing the output of each and every one, independent of all the other ones. And you can get gains of, you know, from 5 to 20% been estimated.
Okay.
That's a nice thing. So those are some of the key important differentiators between today's approach with central inverters and where this industry is heading with microinverters and AC modules.
In terms of the installation costs, are there some installation costs that are improved over today's technology, today's current technology, versus what the SunSign system will be able to do?
Yes, there are. And thanks for asking, because that's really an uncharted territory until very recently. A lot of people have been working a long time to try to drive cost out of the PV modules themselves. And the inverter makers have always tried to drive their costs down as well. But the final frontier here is, how do we get costs out of the installation? Installation is as much as 40 to 50% of the total cost of a turnkey PV system. What we have done, we've added features to the AC module so that you can eliminate a lot of the materials that are used today when you mount residential, or when you put PV modules on a residential roof. So we're eliminating a lot of materials. We have made it nearly tool-free to install the modules, working only in a convenient way for the installers. There's all kinds of lessons learned that we've embedded in this product to try to make installation really as simple and as fast as possible. And we think that we can erode as much as 50% of the installation time and cost.
Wow.
Out of residential systems.
That's quite a development. Quite a development.
It's really a good thing. And it's a trend, and I believe it is going to be a trend that will continue in this industry, is to work out the kinks and really see these kinds of evolutionary strides take hold.
Well, where is the product at this point in its stage of development? When is it going to be released? Are there some companion products along with it?
We've been in development for 2.5 years, so it's taken us a great while. And one of the reasons is that we are making a leapfrog in the technology with our inverter.
Okay.
We're leapfrogging the today's technology in terms of reliability, and we have an inverter that has at least 3 times the useful lifetime of anything that's on the market today.
Oh, okay.
That's part of why it's taken us a long time for this development, but we are in safety certification testing right now at Underwriters Laboratory.
Oh, okay.
And we anticipate being through that in the first quarter of this year, and we will be beginning our pilot production in the second quarter of 2010. So our product launch is just a few months away.
Now, is there, I know that one of the big things that seems to be available now, or that's coming onto the market, is a way to monitor what's happening with a particular solar panel system. Does this system have the capability to kind of monitor what's going on with a home's power system? Is that available through this?
That is one of the real advantages of having intelligence distributed on the back of every PV module in an array, is that there's information that can be gathered there and can be communicated. Other people in the industry with microinverters have demonstrated how this information can be displayed. We also have information from every panel, every SunSign AC module, that goes to a website with an engaging display, can be accessed on your iPhone, your BlackBerry, or your laptop, any web-enabled device.
Oh, okay.
That's a big part. That's a really big part of the next wave for PV technology. It's all about engaging the homeowners in their system, keeping them interested in what's going on,
okay,
on top of knowing whether it needs maintenance or not. And I really believe that, just as smartphones and other devices have gotten more and more powerful, more and more flexible, so must PV fit into this new paradigm as well. And indeed, that's part of the package that we're offering.
Excellent. Now, in terms of the level of efficiency of the panels themselves, I know the microinverter certainly helps to improve the way that the energy is received. Are there any developments with respect to the efficiency of the panels themselves that's different or that's product?
I think that you know, module manufacturers have their challenge to try to, A, drive their costs down, and B, improve their efficiency, and they're always, always working on that. Inverter manufacturers, same thing. Improve the efficiency, improve the reliability, drive the cost down. It's no different for us. We are doing our best to make this product a breakthrough in terms of reliability, and we already have visions of the evolution of the product itself. But we're very, very happy with the high-efficiency platform that we're working with, the high-reliability inverter that we're developing, the features that we've added into this package to make it a very slick, simple, easy to work with, easy to understand product.
Excellent. Well, where do you see your company headed, the industry headed in terms of innovation, customer adoption, and really economic development with respect to solar and you know the economy at large?
Richard, what I think is that there is a revolution underway in the technology of systems, and the signs of it are really everywhere to be seen. There's numerous companies pursuing microinverters and AC modules, and clearly in a sustained and growing marketplace where we find ourselves now, room exists for many players and lots of clever new ideas, and I see them out there on the horizon. But one idea that is here to stay is the AC module, and we are really excited.
Excellent. I'm excited about our discussion here and about what you've been able to enlighten us with, and it really is quite a treat to be able to have this conversation, particularly because you've been there when this industry was truly you know in its infancy, and so that's really a treat to be able to get this perspective of someone like yourself who's got such a broad understanding of where it was and where it is now and where it's going. Are there any other thoughts that you'd like to impart on us or that you'd like to share with our listeners at this point?
I think I've pretty much covered the bases, Richard. I am just appreciative that you were interested in what we are doing, and it's been very fun for me to share my passion with you.
Well, thank you, Miles. There he is, Miles Russell, CEO of Green Ray Solar, here on Quest Point in the Mix.